choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Charles Bridges once said that the Christian ministry is the most difficult work to ever be involved with. He said, "It is linked to a daily cross, and in it must be anticipated severe and overwhelming trial." Well, that's not what I like to think about, and if that is what happens in ministry, how do you keep your head afloat? How do you keep your heart in it? Welcome to Abounding Grace today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are working through Romans chapter 1 this week. What an exciting section of scripture this is to consider the nature of Christian ministry. The discouragements are real, aren't they? What do we do when trial hits? I do know that the one thing that happens in times of hardship is that you lose the big picture. And in terms of Christian ministry, you forget what Christian ministry is. I love Romans 1 because it shows us the beauty of the Christian ministry in the heart of conflict. In other words, it's pulling back the veil and showing us the power of God working behind the scenes, even when things appear to be as dark as possible. Paul understood this. Here is a pastor and his heart. Someone who loved the Lord, who gave himself beyond his circumstances to see what the Lord was doing, and we can learn a whole bunch from this week. Paul is describing himself here. Paul is demonstrating for us the beauty of the Christian ministry when the pastor is functioning the way that he should, and the church is responding to the word the way that they should. When you have that, you've got a witness unlike anything else. Paul said that I am, in Romans chapter 1, right at the beginning in verse 1, I am a slave of Christ. And now you see him showing what that looks like among the churches of Jesus Christ. Here is a pastor who is a true servant, who had been so gripped by the grace of Christ, he had completely given his life to minister the gospel. And here is a congregation presented to us in Romans chapter 1, a congregation in Rome that had been formed by the gospel. Putting these things together, you've got an extremely powerful combination. A pastor functioning in the office as he should, a congregation whose faith is being talked about all over the world. What an amazing ministry combination we meet in Romans chapter 1. And that's what's before us today and this week. What we have is Paul expressing his desire to serve these saints in Rome. And he has certain goals, he has certain approaches, certain things he wants to accomplish. He wants to establish them in the faith. He wants to be a blessing to them. And he wants to see fruit among them in the ministry of the gospel. Why? Because he saw the hand of the Lord working to save a people in Rome. Now I think to myself, what an amazing thing, a beautiful thing to study. We can learn a lot from this. No matter what comes down our paths, we should never forget what the presence of this congregation, what the presence of a given congregation, a church of Jesus Christ, the ministry of the word, what is it is really saying about the Lord's plan of salvation. I would love nothing more than what is described here in Romans chapter 1 to be true of every faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this great text today. In verse 8, we read, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." That is an amazing statement. Paul is considering them, and Paul is thinking, "I'm overwhelmed that the Lord would raise up a church in the middle of Rome. I want you to know first, I'm dropping in thanksgiving that God raised you up." Who were these Roman Christians of whom verse 7 says were beloved by God and called to be saints? Most likely, this was a Gentile church. Rome was the capital of the empire, and this was an amazing thing. God had done a work of grace in these saints in the capital city of the world's greatest superpower. In fact, you'll remember, Paul would later write to the Philippians from prison in Rome that there were many in Caesar's household that had become Christians. Now, what does Paul say here? I thank God that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Listen, if we understand this, Paul is astonished. God has done the unimaginable. In the heart of the pagan empire of Rome, godless Rome, a beastly kingdom of this world, there in the heart of it, the Lord was shaking up everything by raising up a church. Now, I don't know how you feel about this yet, but if I could take you back to the first century for a moment, do you realize how hostile things were to the gospel? All the cities of Asia Minor were pledging their allegiance to Rome. To give you an example of this, do you know what went on in Pergamos? It was called the Dia Romana. It was a massive temple. And what made this temple so unique is that it was the only temple known to have personified Rome as a goddess. In other words, it was a temple for worshiping Rome. Now, in about AD 25, all the cities of the region were vying for a right to build a temple for the great emperors. Tacitus, a historian, wrote in his annals that Augustus Tiberius, emperor from 14 to 37 AD, had each allowed a single temple to be erected in his honor during his lifetime. And such a temple would not only contain a statue of the ruling emperor that could be venerated in godlike fashion, but the temples were also dedicated to the Roman people. It was just expected that you would worship Caesar as God. Do you know that Julius Caesar had a statue built with the inscription in Latin, Deo Invicto, to the unconquered God? The people would walk into these temples and they would sprinkle incense on the fire and they would burn before the emperor's bust. Roman worship was everywhere. You think things are bad today? This would be like putting up a Smithsonian of all the accomplishments and bowing before the symbol of that country, requiring that full undivided allegiance be given to a bust of our president. You think the Christians did that? Their allegiance was to Christ. They viewed that as idolatry. They couldn't worship Caesar as Lord, and the consequences were great. The situation had become so bad that the only real way you could share in the city's wealth and prosperity was to be involved in the worship of Rome. So economic prosperity and social acceptance was determined upon your involvement with the Roman cult. The cities of Asia Minor begin to ban the Christians from trade and take their property because they wouldn't be involved in this. Now, if this wasn't enough, you know what happened? It's interesting, in AD 49, Emperor Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome, thinking they were followers of a man named Crestus. Whether that was Christ or not, what had happened was many Jews who had become Christians were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, and they stirred up all the non-believing Jews, which led to a turmoil throughout the whole and a riot throughout the whole city. The point is this: a powerful testimony of Christ was prevailing in the heart of the very capital of the Roman Empire. And everyone in all the churches, even among the pagans, were talking about these Roman Christians. So in the midst of all of this darkness, Paul is overwhelmed. And I want you to feel exactly what Paul is saying. I want you to understand exactly what Paul is excited about. He is overwhelmed that the Lord has raised up a church in the midst of this. God raised you up in the middle of Rome? I'm pretty sure Paul wanted to quote at this point Psalm 2, "He who is in the heavens shall laugh." Their faith was strong and being reported throughout the whole world. And what does Paul say? "I'm going to pray for you. God is my witness. I will not stop praying for you. This is big." Now, why is this so important? Paul saw that in the middle of weakness was power. Paul saw that in the heart of persecution, in the most pagan empire of the world, in the capital, there God was building up a church. And Paul is intensely moved. I think sometimes as Christians, we are so caught up in fear today. We turn on the news and there's all the violence in the Middle East. We just saw in these past weeks the violence in embassies. Nothing is certain. Everything is falling apart. We have so much concern about our next election. You know, what's going to happen? Who's going to be elected? And what do we do as Christians? I'll tell you what we do. We retreat. See, I can't help but look at this and think, the world was crumbling all around them. Imagine Paul flipping on the news at this day. Imagine Paul flipping on some news channel. Guess who's coming into office? Emperor Nero, the most bloodthirsty emperor in the history of the emperors. And on the news are persecutors of the faith dragging off Christians. And you know, in this very book, the Apostle Paul will call Christians to submit to governing authorities. But my point is that above all of this chaos, I'm thinking of John on the island of Patmos. "I looked up and I saw a throne fixed in heaven." Paul saw the God of all grace was in charge and seated and ruling over all. There, in the heart of the most wicked empire, stood a group of believers whose faith was being reported of throughout the whole world. And I want to say that today, in the midst of all of the chaos we're experiencing, we need to look up. We have no enduring city here. Our priorities are all wrong today. If we are here today as a church and as God's people, you know what that means? God still has his elect, whom he is bringing in. And in the midst of the chaos, God is still building. God is still on his throne. And so I want us to ask this today. What value do we have to what we do? How important is the church? How important is the Christian ministry? May we always remember that the reason the Lord has us here is to advance his truth and gather in his people. You see, Paul looked at a chaotic world and saw a great opportunity. We live in these days of chaos. And I'm telling the believers, look up. See what the Lord is doing. In the middle of all the uncertainty, there is one seated. He has a great message to bestow and a great message to give. And his message is salvation. See what we're a part of. Give yourselves to it. And understand that the Lord is building. And sometimes, in the heat and the heart of the greatest afflictions, the greatest of uncertainties, there the power of God lies. For in our very weakness, it is then and there that we are strong. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.